Hi everyone, welcome back to the Foul Hour. Today I'm joined by Mark Hirons, Blue Deer Design, Creative Waffle. You know him, he's one of my good friends, and he was kind enough to come back on the show once again. On today's show, we're going to be talking about a whole range of stuff, from a recap of his Creative Waffle live event, some antics we got up to all around that as well, creating consistently, forming new habits, and setting up 2020 to be a year that you can improve yourself in, and some different challenges he's set himself as well. We go on for a little bit more than an hour, and I mean, we just get right into it, really. So without further ado, here is the episode with Mark. Hello, and welcome back to the Foul Hour. Today, I'm joined by Markety Markety Mark Hirons of Blue Deer Design and Creative Waffle fame. You know who he is. Mark, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, all good. Very good.
So I'm roping you in as one of my friends to be like, come on my podcast again. Come back. I need you.
I love it. I really like it. I like doing podcasts. I like being on podcasts. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying this year, as in 2020, to be like, let's get some more of my friends on the show, talk to them a bit more, see what is going on, really, and just keep in touch with people that way, and really have more consistent conversations and different conversations with the same people, because there's so much to talk about that I feel like you miss out a lot when it's just one conversation and then you like drop it and you don't speak to that person for 2 years. But I want to go straight into this. When we last spoke, you said you had a job interview that you said went really well. So what's going on with that, and what did you get the job? What's happened? And where was it?
So, I mean, it'll be out, but by the time this podcast is out, it'll be over and done with. I will probably have the job. So I'm basically going this Friday, as of recording, I'm going back for another interview / chat. Because it's not really an interview, is it now? It's like the third one. So at this point, I think it's pretty much sealed. The deal is sealed. It's at a Premier League football club as a junior graphic design role. So I'm not sure if I can tell anyone more than that just yet. But when it's out, everyone will obviously know. It's going to be awesome. It's pretty much my dream job, going from sort of working in my home office and just sort of trying to build this up to a point where I can be employed by a Premier League football club as a graphic designer. It's just, it's been incredible. So yeah, I've pretty much got my dream job.
Well, my fingers are still very crossed for you. I was hoping that you would have found out by now whether final had come through. Because we're kind of, when we're recording this, it's like early December, but obviously you'll be listening to it when you're listening to it. But I'm super glad for you, man, because it's been so nice to see you shift towards the sports stuff, especially looking towards the illustration that you've been doing and pairing that with some graphic design and some layout design, and to then see that you've actually been able to convert that into a potential career, or at least to even have the interview. Because I would be putting on my CV, like, was interviewed at Premier League football.
I don't think it's because I like football. I'm immersed so much into that world. I don't think it's really hit me like what sort of magnitude it is as like job level. Because I'm like, oh, that's this team. And I love them. I watch their team play football every week. I don't know. It's just I just think because I've know so much about the sport, I don't think the level of the job has really hit me. But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. Basically, the update is that I've had two interviews there. I've pretty much passed those two. I'm going for a third one on Friday. It's basically a chat with their current designer, and if he likes me, I'm in. So it sounds pretty good. It sounds like I'm in.
That does sound kind of like the standard process, which is you go for your interview, they give you kind of a test, and then you also end up having to be like a sanity check with the team. Because I remember when Lydia went for kind of a contract role over the summer, they basically loved her work, but they just wanted her to come in and just be like, are you insane? Are you actually going to work well with the team, or are you just going to be in a complete nightmare?
Yeah, loads of places do that, and I think that's standard for all design studios as well. From the people I've spoken to, it's pretty common stuff. Can you bond the team? If not, I mean, sometimes some people do it before they actually have the interview as well. If you can't bond with the team, they're not going to look at your portfolio. So it makes sense.
Yeah, it's a strange culture thing, though, isn't it? It's something that I've noticed a lot more as you move through to creative industry stuff. Also, can you pull your mic a little bit closer to you at all?
Oh, yeah, that one, yeah. Cool. I can, yeah. Is that better?
Yeah, that'll be fine, mate. Thank you.
Okay, just now.
But the thing I've noticed a lot is there's a lot of talk around culture fits to companies. And obviously, there's a lot to be said that's bad about that in terms of like, oh, you just end up with groupthink. You end up with people just all thinking the same. It's all white blokes in suits in Silicon Valley, which is like a culture fit. And it's, to me, it makes, like, having culture fit makes sense, but it depends how far you take it. If you just want to be like, oh, my team, does this guy seem okay? Does he seem like he's going to be insane and like flip tables and not work properly? But yeah, it doesn't, it sounds to me like you're on the right path with that. And it sounds to, I'm honestly quite proud of you.
I appreciate that. I had some nice messages from people I've told, and yeah, it means a lot. It means a lot to see, even after the creative, like the event, the Creative for Life event, just so much love and appreciation for the podcast and for what I've done. And it really does feel like a community now. Whereas before the event and in the past, it's felt like, oh, I'm just pushing stuff out. And now it feels real. It feels a bit more real. And all these connections I'm building, it's coming through, which is amazing. It feels like a real thing.
So which of these connections is kind of paying off for you at the moment? Are you talking about the sport industry side, the illustration side, or the podcast side?
It's a bit of that, but it's more just like just having friends.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you know, it is working at home on your own so much, and it's nice to have a few more messages, and it's nice to meet a few more people in person after doing things and just have a bit more support on your side. It's very, it's overwhelming a little bit. It's even like you just said, you feel proud of me for doing this. It's like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. I do. And you've been, speaking of meeting people in person, you've been traveling up and down the country a little bit, driving your little car back and forth, trying to interview people in person. I've seen some of the videos as well. One with Laura Evans, I think, is one of the more recent ones you put up. And I like the format with that and how you've actually taken your gear to these people rather than just doing it how we're doing it over Zoom, because I'm lazy mainly. Do you think that's really helped build these relationships up a bit more strongly, actually meeting these people?
Yeah, 100%. I could have come down to you today. I should have thought about that, and I would have driven down. But yeah, next time we'll do it in person. But yeah, it's 100% definitely the stronger connections. I mean, everyone that I've met in person, you do just feel a stronger connection. Like, you know, if you can feel them, feel how they are in person.
You can feel them.
Yeah, well, you can feel them, yeah, if you wanted to.
Playing footsie under the table, Mark, is what I'm saying.
But yeah, it's just, you do, it's just a stronger connection. I don't know, it's some sort of human thing where if you meet someone in person, you get a real feel for who they are, because they could be totally different. I've met a few people that are a bit different in real life. And yeah, so it's, yeah.
Not without naming names, then, who's been different? Like, how different? I've got so many stories about this as well, but what's different? Like, they're just not as, like, bright about it? Because I've met a lot of people who are super extroverted online, but the second you meet them in person, they can't even, like, look you in the eye.
Stuff like that. Yeah, it is pretty much. It's stuff like that. And also maybe in person, you know, they think they're trying to be something that they're not, trying to be bigger than they're not. It's very interesting to see how people are different offline and online. Obviously, the people I hang around with most is just people that are the same. Just social media shouldn't be. I've gone for a bit of a change in the last few months of social media. I'm just like, now I'm just thinking, well, social media. If you want to post on it, post on it. If you don't post on it. Do good work and just get over it. Stop worrying about likes and stuff. I know we can have another conversation about social media and podcasting, but yeah. So I'm just taking it how it is now, just seeing how I feel about sort of that sort of stuff. And people will be different on and offline, so just take it how it is.
Yeah, there's a difference though. There's a difference though between like having a persona online. Like I know that, and as people have told me many times, that I have a very distinct radio voice, which then disappears when I talk to them in person. Like it's just, but that's the way you present yourself, and it's just the way things come through recorded. But you'll have little differences there. You might the way you are on camera when you're filming a video of yourself, you might be a slightly different, but you're not going above and beyond. But I have met people in the past who are so different online to way they, so it's like all those influencer culture things where it's like, oh, Logan Paul and Jake Paul being like super bright and happy on camera, and you meet them in person and they're just complete arsehole. So
yeah,
it's that kind of flip that really bothers me. And I agree with you, like, you should just not give a fuck, really. And just be true. Like, cool, I made this thing, here it goes, and just try and detach from it.
Exactly. And yeah, I don't want to name anyone else, any names, so I won't. Maybe later. But
yeah, it does kind of blow my mind that people think that you need to have this bravado. Like, there's an idea. What do you think about fake it till you make it? What's your perspective on that? Because that's kind of the summary of what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think it's slightly different. It depends what... It's a hard topic. I think I definitely did it when I was younger. Definitely put Wii on my website and I made myself look like a bigger company. But, now my current thoughts as of late 2019 and going into 2020, I just think, just be yourself. Just be honest, be open with everyone, and everything will be all right. Because with the podcast, I've been open, I've been sharing my story, I've done me, and I think that's just come off really nicely, come off really well, and I've made so many friends from it. So I don't think there's any reason not to be yourself unless you're an arsehole. I don't know, fake it till you make it. Depends what you're faking. If you're faking trying to be flashy with cars and money, then there's obviously a problem there. You're obviously not doing it for the right reasons. It depends what your intent is, yeah. Because if you're trying to fake it, like say you've got a couple more people working with you and you know, you're not just on your own in your bedroom, then you could get away with that. It depends on how you're sort of showing yourself. But I think Cole Grade is a really good example of that. Cole Pixels Inc., for anyone who doesn't know, he's doing like Wii and everything like that, and I think that works really well for him because his work is up to that standard, and he's the way he talks about his business and everything, it works. But then you get younger people like I was when I was 16, trying to fake it till you make it, saying Wii and everything, and the work wasn't there, and the quality of the emails back and forth to clients wasn't there, and yeah, it's just people can see through it. But with Cole and his work, I mean, I think it's pretty stand. It stands pretty strong. And work. So it depends what you're trying to fake, I guess.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
What are your thoughts on that?
Sorry?
What are your thoughts on that?
I flip on both sides. I think you're right. I think if you're being like trying to be an up and coming rapper and you're saying like I've got half a mil in the bank and you like eat toasties and drive a Prius, like it doesn't make any sense. But unfortunately it works. That's the thing. The issue is that it works, because by talking about what you aspire to and what other people want, particularly in music and writing and on YouTube, influencers and people making vlogs and that type of stuff, if you show people what they want to see, they'll think you have it and then you'll eventually get to it. So it's a bit deceptive in that regard, which I think is bad. But I also think that... Hang on, let me plug my laptop in, otherwise it's going to die. I think that there's nothing wrong with having or trying to force yourself to have confidence or have, maybe not force yourself is the right word there, but there's a, I can't remember his name. What was his name? I think he was on the Tim Ferriss show a while ago. I can't remember his name, but he was talking about having alter egos. Like Beyonce, it's Sasha Fierce. Is that what her alter ego is?
I can't remember.
I think something like that. But Beyonce has like a stage name that she goes by when she gets like in the zone. The same with Venus Williams and all these incredibly powerful, not just entertainers, but sports people, athletes, etc. They have different alter egos that they use to get in the zone, basically. Yep. And by getting in the zone, it helps them to channel that energy and kind of overcome any of those other anxieties they might have. So I used to do this in the past when I was doing things like going to karate gradings. So at a karate grading, when you're sat in front of the head of that organization in the UK, and he's sat there staring at you and basically being like, this is the only way you're going to get your black belt right now is if you work until basically you throw up in your suit. So you have to get to a certain mindset to really show them that you deserve that thing. And also what is the same with going on stage. So if you ever go on stage public speaking, you kind of have to work yourself up a bit. You have to like get in that zone. And I think in that regard, if you fake it a little bit to achieve that, eventually you'll become comfortable enough that that's just what you do, which is one of the reasons that I've had in the past people talk to me about the fact I come across so confident, or I come across so well on audio or on stage or meeting people for the first time. But if I go to an event for 8 hours, like the Future Conference or the Hemp and CBD Expo or Creative Waffle, where we were hanging out all day, every day, by the time I got home, I was exhausted. Because yeah, although it comes much more naturally to me now than it used to, it's still difficult. So that then leads into things like, I'm very fortunate because I've been on stages performing with bands since I was 15. Like I've done that. So I've had that experience. So I've had to fake it to an extent to get to where I am now. But that when you've, it's all about finding when to turn the switch on and off, really.
Yeah. If it works for you, then that's great. I think I understand why people do have alter egos. Cause I met Paul Trevelyan, who's a sports illustrator. And he says sometimes he doesn't feel like it's him drawing. Sometimes he feels like it's, he said Rembrandt, who's coming back to in his shoes drawing for him. And like, if it's a really good one, he won't claim it. He's like, it's not my work. And he got really angry about it on the podcast. He's like, it's not my work. And it was hilarious, but I felt for him. I was like, I can see that he doesn't actually think it's his work, even though he's drawn it. So yeah, I understand. He was talking about sports people as well, like footballers not having, if they have a really good day, like you say, if they've got alter ego. And it's interesting.
Is that an alter ego thing though, or is that imposter syndrome where he can't accept or is it a mixture? Like he's getting in the flow and channeling this thing, and then when he leaves that flow state, he just can't accept that it's.
Yeah, I guess it's a bit imposter syndrome. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Anyway,
that's interesting though. It's interesting to hear that someone who's had a lifelong career in something, to turn around and be like, actually, yeah, no, I still struggle with this all the time.
Yeah, I mean, he is a bit crazy, but I mean, he's 85. He's doing like incredible stuff for 85. He's still doing stuff, still drawing, still doing illustrations for huge companies. He's the grandfather of sports illustration. It's interesting to see, to hear that. Like, say, I wonder if Lance Wyman or someone like that gets it as well. Be interesting to hear. But I also think it's sometimes you just are more confident than other times. Like at Creative Waffle Live event, like you saw me really stressed out, and I had, before the event, I had to be a bit more heightened and get a little bit more in the zone for it. I think sometimes you just, the confidence just goes up and down, and sometimes you need to turn it on, and that's when you go. So whatever, I wasn't an alter ego though. I just turn it on.
Yeah, and I think naming things like that it makes sense. Like especially if you're an athlete, like as an athlete, you go on pitch, and it's like a set amount of time. A set amount of activities, you know when it's going to be. It's going to be every Saturday or every Thursday or whatever it's going to be. So it's very much a good idea to get in the routine of doing it, or to have some kind of process of getting there. Like so talking about Beyonce going on stage. Like when I go on stage, I am X. Mm-hmm. When I go on pitch, I am X. And I think that is definitely a powerful thing to kind of help you overcome anxiety.
Yeah.
But it's a case of knowing when it's appropriate, because Beyonce wouldn't behave like that in front of her daughters, probably. Yeah. 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 It wouldn't be the kind of absolute power that comes behind that force on stage.
Yeah.
Probably is not what she has at home.
Yeah.
So there is a big skill in that. And I think, I mean, I've seen you progress, for example, like the amount you've done the podcast. You've become way more confident and way more outgoing.
100%. And it definitely comes with time. And the confidence of talking, just talking to people, just having conversations with random people, I think it's one of the best skills you can have. If you can start a conversation in a lift with three people that you've never met before, I think that's fantastic. I mean, yeah, I think that's one of the best skills to have, confidence of communication. It's amazing. I've learned that sort of from family members and obviously doing the podcast, and yeah, it's huge. It's a huge skill. I'm really privileged to be able to grow it through the podcast, be able to talk about anything and feel comfortable.
Yeah, and speaking of the podcast, man, let's talk about Creative Waffle Live, since you've just touched on that a couple of times, in that it's been, what, it's been almost a month since the event. How are things going on in your mind? Obviously, you said the initial feedback was really good, but has any kind of like trickle down stuff come through? Have you had any thoughts about the event overall since doing it?
Yeah, I've thought about it quite a lot. Naturally, as you do if you put on an event. It's an amazing event, amazing night, and I was really ecstatic to hear all the great feedback, and even at the pub afterwards, and just long into the night of just that partying and having a good time. And that was my main sort of takeaway. It's just, wow, all those people were there because of me. Trying to sound big headed, like, they all came there to support the event, support the podcast, and support me. Like, yeah. A lot of them had listened to the podcast before. There's hardly anyone there that hadn't. I don't think I could have just put on an event and had that many people there without the podcast and without all the backup of people that had listened to it and all the friends that came along and supported me. So, yeah, it just really made me open my eyes and think, what a community, what a good group of friends I've got. That's been my main takeaway from it.
So a lot of gratitude from event.
Yeah.
I'm still amazed how well it went, and also I have an amazing video of you at Alchemist afterwards. Oh my god. I dug it out. I checked my phone, because for people who weren't obviously at the event, Mark put on Creative Waffle Live, which was a bunch of awesome speakers back to back, and it was the first time you'd done that kind of thing. And afterwards, it was a case of, okay, well, the event finishes at 9, but we're not going to go home at 9. You're in central London. Like, of course, we're going to go out afterwards. What happened? What happened afterwards, Mark? What do you remember? Because I have so many good clips.
So I did a podcast with Fugues for Thanksgiving, and we talked a little bit about it on there. That's just hilarious. I mean, so went to the Alchemist, had loads of drinks there, and I basically said, like, I can't drink anymore. So we went to a chicken shop after that. We sat down for a little bit. You and Lisa left just before the chicken shop, as we're going into the chicken shop.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, we missed out a bit. So before the chicken shop, we went around the houses trying to look for a really nice restaurant to sit in and have a nice meal. What was this, like 11 o'clock at night?
I mean, so no, firstly, we left at 9. We were then at a bar until 10, and they closed at 10.
About that. Yeah.
I was like, oh my god, this is a Friday night. Friday night? Was it Friday night? Yeah, it was Friday night. And they closed the bar at like 10:30.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on here? And they did the thing. So I don't know if it's the same in other countries, but in the UK, usually half an hour before they close, they ring a bell to say, hey, last orders now, get your drinks in, you've got half an hour. But these guys rang the bell 10 minutes before they were closing. Yeah. And then we went to go and get a drink, and they were like, are you going to finish that in 10 minutes? And I was like, no, why? You've just rung last orders. We've got time, right? And they were like, no, you're leaving in 5 minutes. It's like, So we left there, and we went to, based on someone's recommendation, and later we found out that Fugues had been there drinking all day. We went to the Alchemist, which is like this Heston Blumenthal-esque restaurant bar, which is all these fancy cocktails, but I just have this clip of you, Mark. Like, I remember you being like, I can't have any more, I'm too tired and I'm too wobbly, and I just have this video of you just staring into space, like your existence is futile, like you've just disappeared into the void.
The issue was, like, I've been drinking, I had a couple of beers at the first pub, and then we went to the Alchemist, I had a whiskey, like, Sam gave me a whiskey, like, what's that? Like, just out of nowhere, I just started drinking whiskey. I mean, it was nice, because normally I don't like whiskey because it's too strong, but they did it really nicely. So it's nice, smoky, and like loads of ice as well, which is cool. So it's drinkable. I had it, and then I was like, I can't drink another one of those, so I have a beer. I couldn't go back to beer. I had a couple of sips, and I thought, that's it, I'm done. I'm officially done. that's where that came from.
I mean, do you remember some of the conversations that we had that evening?
Yeah, some of them.
Because
which ones?
Well, I was more meaning the ones about the event, because I people were very, very obviously positive towards you during that period, and maybe more so because they were drunk. But it was it was just really nice to see such positivity from, obviously, I knew everyone but one person at that table. But how was it for you with all those strangers, effectively, even if you'd met them online?
Yeah, it was, it's crazy. It really is. It's the power of the podcast, as some people say. Just bringing people together is such a cool feeling. It's like having a big party. That's what it was. It was like getting a group of friends and having a big party. It was cool. It was really, really cool. I don't know what else I can say. I'm just so grateful for it. So pleased it came off so well, and hopefully we'll do it again next year. But yeah, just really, really pleased.
I think that's something that's maybe missing from kind of the fact that we don't work in offices so much, because we're so remote or split apart or long distance from each other. The fact that we, and I was talking to Lisa about this actually last week, she was basically saying, oh yeah, once a month on a Friday, everyone from my office goes out for drinks until like 5 or 6 a.m. And Jesus. I was like, well, firstly, you're Dutch, so of course you go out till stupid o'clock in the morning. But it was more the fact that they did that, and they actually went out kind of as a social thing. But we just don't typically do that, because we either work remotely or it's too hard to kind of like, okay, well, where are we going to stay? How am I going to get home? All that type of stuff. So when we do have an event, it's really nice to actually go out as well.
Yeah, and get on it.
Get on it.
It was good. And luckily, you know, Fuchs put me up in his Airbnb, which wasn't allowed, but you know, we make do. He didn't get in trouble, which is nice. It's not the first time either. You and Fuchs did it earlier on the year as well.
Yeah, we did. that was maybe regrettable decisions, but
well, what happened with that? Did you get in trouble?
No, we didn't get in trouble at all.
I snuck out and had a big walk in the morning, so it was all good.
Yeah, so we went to see Tom Ross in, where is his office?
It was in, where is it? Well, no, he lives in Walton. His office.
Golden Ring or something?
No, that's my place. That's my Golden Ring, my area.
Oh, right.
I forgot what it's called.
Anyway, Design Cut's old office. So we went to see Tom at Design Cut's old office. Me, Fuchs, and and Mark. And Mark, you again, missed, like, I like this. You're like, oh, I'll get the last train home. And then it's, oh, I've missed my last train. Where am I going to stay? And he's looking at us like, yeah, you're going to let me stay with you? It's such a habit you have.
It does seem to happen quite a lot, yeah.
Just being,
it's happened not just with you guys as well.
Ooh, like, maybe I'm going to miss my last train, guys.
It's just happened when I graduated from Shillington Design College as well. That same thing happened. I just crashed on someone's floor. I feel bad for doing it, but everyone seems to be nice and welcoming, so...
Yeah. But no, so we ended up going out, and that was the evening that Tom would just not stop buying drinks. Oh my god,
he's a drinker.
He's apparently so. We love you, Tom, but yeah, holy shit. And then yeah, me and Michael were staying at this lovely little old couple's Airbnb. They were so old. And so lovely and so sweet. And then Mark's just like crawled into bed with Michael, like, I'm going to sleep here. It's okay.
I was so scared as well, because that was like the first time I did it without someone knowing that I was in their house. I felt really bad. And so I snuck out really early. I don't know. I think it was like 5 o'clock in the morning. And obviously, there's nothing open. So I walked around for ages in freezing cold and then waited till the shop was open. And got a sandwich. Anyway, digressing.
But
yeah,
we are digressing, but that's
we do have a good time, don't we? We have a good time.
Oh god, I need to send you that clip though of you at the Alchemist, where you're just like zoned out into space. Like, can't I? Because I know that feeling. That feeling when you've had too many drinks and you're so tipsy and so drunk that if you just move, it's too much.
Yeah, wobbly.
And it's like, oh god, I just need to try and balance myself without falling over and just completely vomiting everywhere. But that bar was amazing though, because they like, they constantly brought water over. That's something I noticed all night. Every time the water bottles were empty, they came and brought new water jugs. So you didn't get as drunk. You didn't get
Maybe
drunk
I should have
really
had
quickly.
Some of that.
Yeah, you probably should.
Didn't say that.
That anyway, we're moving away from that. So you think you'll be maybe doing some more event or another Creative Waffle next year?
Yeah,
it's on the
back. We probably will. If I get this job, I have a little money. I can get things sorted properly. I can pay people. Yeah, I'd love to do one in America, but like, it's a long way to go, and it's hard to do stuff when you can't go and visit like the venue. And
you've got portable gear now, though, don't you? So you can actually travel with this gear and record wherever you go.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely could do it if I wanted to. But yeah, I'd love to do it in New York. I mean, I'd just be. I imagine if you did London, New York, Paris, and then just went around the world. I mean, French might be a bit difficult, but I could just go around the world like doing this podcast in big cities. It'd be so cool. Anyway, dreams, you know. But yeah, I think there'll be another one in London next year if I get this job, which I pretty much have, which is great, which is fantastic. We'll be putting on a bigger show, more investment. And that's the thing about this. That's the thing about getting a job as well. Just because I've got a job now, it doesn't mean I'm stopping the podcast. Well, this week's episode hasn't gone out yet. But it means there's more money going into the podcast. There's more funding and stuff. So hopefully production quality will eventually get higher, And yeah, I don't know. We'll see where it goes. But exciting year next year for everything, for the podcast, for my design work, for my career, my life and everything. So yeah, I'm very, very optimistic about 2020. Very, very optimistic.
Good. And that's good to hear. I mean, are you thinking about going to any events in the US or anywhere else?
Yeah, so I booked my plane ticket. No, I haven't booked my plane ticket. That's one thing I do need to do. I booked my hotel and event ticket for Creative South.
That's in Atlanta. Is it? Sorry, Georgia.
Yeah. Georgia, just outside Atlanta. It's about a 2-hour drive from outside Atlanta airport. So yeah, we're probably going back there, depending on this job. But probably will be going back if I can get a couple of days off. So yeah, I'm here coming back to the US. I really want to go to both Crop and Creative South, but they're in the same month and they're at the opposite ends of the month this year. So it's going to be really hard to get to both. But we'll see if I can get time off. But yeah, I'm definitely going to Creative South. Yeah.
Awesome. So people listening over in the States, you've got Mark coming to join you and probably sleep on your floor.
Might be sleeping on Dave Clayton's hotel floor. That's the, that might be happening. Yeah.
And speaking of 2020 then, you said you'd made a list of challenges or goals for 2020.
Yeah.
Are these like a monthly challenge thing to try or what's on this list?
Yeah, so I'll just bring that up. I've got a challenge for each month. So a 30-day or however the month is. Obviously, February's 28 days or whatever. Is it leaping next year? I don't know. But, so we've got certain challenges for each month.
It is actually a leap year, I think. Is it a leap year?
I haven't had one for a while.
I think so. 2012 was a leap year, right? I think. I don't know. Anyway, you were saying.
So, yeah, we've got a few challenges. And the whole point behind this is, how long can I stick to them? Everyone sets challenges, everyone sets New Year's resolutions, but I've done one for each month. So even if I don't do one, I've got one the next month to focus on. And they're all sort of things I need to do, want to do, and I think I'll feel good about all of them if I complete them all. Well, obviously, if I complete them all, I feel good. But yeah, so I'll go into them, basically. And I've also got whole year challenges as well. Just a little bit of a test, you know, a bit of grit. I think that's the thing we're missing in 2019, 2020. There's too much softness. We need to get a bit stronger as a human race.
Now I'm going to hold that thought, getting stronger as a human race, and now you're going to tell me some challenges that are like,
I need to brush my teeth twice a day, every day.
It's like, yeah, not quite like that.
Come on. All right, go on. Give us a list.
No, but like, I just think, we need some challenge. Like in we don't have anything. Like I can go to the shop and I don't know. That's a bad example. I can do pretty much whatever I want. I can spend money without having to worry about it. But I don't have many challenges in my life.
You want to push yourself a bit.
I want to push myself. That's it. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, so January, we've got a bit of fitness stuff because everyone has fitness challenges in January. Everyone needs to go to the gym in January, that stuff. Basically, I've got a whole training program written out for every single week, and I'm starting to do it now. Basically, I'm just increasing the weight I'm doing, 2.5 kilograms every week, just going up and being a little bit of a calorie surplus, so a little bit of a bulk phase, and that's going to be throughout the whole of the year. But January, I really want to get it focused in because I want to make it a habit going to the gym 4-5 times a week. I've said minimum 3 times a week, but I want to make it sort of 4-5, including football. So, yeah, really focusing that in January, making it really solid and making sure I do carry it on throughout the whole year. February is going to be the worst month on the list because this is something that I've neglected ever since school, and it's maths. I really want to increase my maths skills. I've been terrible since leaving school, and I feel like my times tables are terrible. I feel like sometimes even like counting change is so slow. I just want to be quick. I want to be on it. Even like I can do 10% of things, but like 30% of things, like 32% of things. And just doing quick maths like that, it's just sometimes it's a bit too slow and it's a bit embarrassing. I can't do it, but it's just really embarrassing, like even division. So I want to increase my maths skills over the month of February. So even just watching online videos, or even if it means buying a workbook and doing it throughout lunch times on for the day, just doing an hour or 45 minutes a day of maths, I want to do it. So we'll see how long I keep that up for, because that's going to be the hardest one. The next one, March. This is a good one because I've got Creative South in April, but it's minimum spend month. So trying to spend the least amount of money I can during that month. I've done it for a couple of weeks this year, and it's good, it's fun. I really like this sort of challenge because I like being frugal and I like saving money. So yeah, that's basically that. And also saving up money in March means that I can spend more on my birthday month, which is April.
You're saving up for all those cocktails you're going to have at Creative
South. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Saving up for the big spend of Creative South. April is going to be hard, obviously, for Creative South, but I want to do Spanish lessons or some sort of language for 45 minutes a day. There's loads of apps out there. I think that'd be pretty easy. I'm not sure how good I'll be at the end of it, but yeah, I've always wanted to learn a language. I missed out on the opportunity in school because I just didn't take it seriously. Also, no one really learns languages in school.
No one in the UK takes language learning seriously. Like, yeah. We did it for 3 years and I can barely string a French sentence together.
So, oh, yeah, they'll speak our language when we get over there. It's fine.
I mean, so they ignorant. Do.
They do, it is but ignorant. It's such a bad mindset. It's yeah. A bad mindset. So, yeah, I'd like to learn Spanish for 45 minutes a day in April. May is water, the month of water.
Oh, hang on. Before you go there, why Spanish?
I just think it's probably not true, but the second biggest language after English, because so many countries speak
Mandarin.
It.
Oh, sorry, yeah, it goes Mandarin.
Yeah, I'm not going to learn
English,
Chinese,
Spanish.
Am I?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Mandarin, English, Spanish, yeah.
It probably is, but yeah, I mean, so many languages, there's so many countries that I'm probably going to go to speak Spanish. Yeah, that's it. I'm not sure how many countries speak Mandarin. I mean, per person, yeah.
Well, it's not countries that they base it on, it's the number of people.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of people in those countries.
Well, there's like a billion people in China, so yeah.
Yeah. The whole point is I'm going to go to more countries and speak Spanish than I am Chinese, so.
True, especially if you're going to the States more, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Go to Mexico and Mexico and speak some Spanish down there. Yeah, so May is 3 litres of water a day, which
3 litres?
Is about a gallon. It's about, it's a lot of water, that.
That's a lot of water.
It's a lot of water, but it's good. It's a really sort of refresh month where you clean your systems out, and it's just good for you. Drink a lot of water is good for you. I think these days I don't drink enough water. I know a lot of my family don't drink enough water. I think in general people just don't drink enough water, and I think when I drink my water I have a lot clearer face and in spots, and also just feel better as well. It's just don't feel as sluggish. So
yeah. So where do you get 3 litres from then? Because I, as far as I'm aware, the recommended UK is 2 litres.
Yeah, there's a fitness guy on YouTube, which I just stole it from. He drinks like a gallon of water, which is just over 3 litres. And that's literally my thought behind it.
Some dude, some dude on science. YouTube does it.
Yeah, exactly. Also, it's a challenge, right? It's hard to drink 3 liters of water a day. Mm. So I'm going to get a gallon jug and just try and drink that throughout the day. And it probably won't happen every day, but my aim is to do it.
Also, I've noticed the pattern here. So what month was that, sorry? Was that July?
That was June. May.
Okay, so May is your water month. Yeah. Which is going to be the month to clear out all the toxins from the previous month.
Yeah,
all the Spanish. To afford to put all the toxins in your body, you need to have a frugal month the month before. Like, I see the rise and fall here.
Yeah. Well, the next one's another clean month. It's fruit. We don't eat enough fruit these days in the UK. Okay. And I've done it in June because I thought, okay, this is going to be a good month for it because you've got summer. Hopefully we have nice fruit in the summer. In the winter, it's always a bit shit. You always get a bit like grapes that are moldy and stuff in the supermarket. So June is a good month for fruit. I've gone for that one piece minimum a day. Because do you eat one piece of fruit a day?
Yes. Well, probably five days a week, yeah. I probably have an orange or an apple every day, yeah.
Oh, damn. I'm lagging behind then. So that's my thought. Anyway, I'm going for fruit.
I need to ruin that for you, but yes.
Yeah, I need to eat one piece of fruit a day. July is going to be, I'm going to try and do an illustration a day, but my thinking whilst doing it in July is because it's for the new football season. New football season starts in August, although we've got big tournament in July, June anyway, Euros. But yeah, July for the new football season, I'm going to try and do an illustration a day and improve my football illustration skills, try and sell it to a few new clubs outside of the day job. August is getting rid of one thing a day. So is it like throwing something away? Everyone has too much clutter in their house. So I thought, okay, one thing a day, that can't be that hard. I'm not talking about just rubbish that you're going to throw anyway. I'm talking about something that's been under your bed for ages that you don't need, like, or a piece of clothing that you don't need. That's pretty good challenge.
Yeah, I like that one. That's probably the one that's caught my attention the most, because I do that quite regularly, but I don't do it once a day. What I would do is every 6 months, I will just gut it. I will just gut my entire room and just like either take stuff to the charity shop, any clothes that maybe I don't want to wear anymore, but are in fairly good nick. They'll go to like one of those charity bins that then goes to Red Cross or British Heart Foundation or wherever it goes. But yeah, doing that every so often, again, for people listening at home, that's actually a really good thing to do. Like, we all have so much stuff. Like, I've thrown away so much stuff in the last year and got rid of so much stuff that actually I can fit. Well, when I went to London for 3 months, when I lived in London over the summer, all I took with me was like two boxes and some clothes. And that's it. It's like, God, my life is, I don't own very many things.
That's good though. That's great. Like, if you feel happy and if you feel content with a little amount of things, that's perfect. That's what I want to get to. I want to get to a place where it still feels homely, but I don't, you know, just don't have that much stuff. And it's great. My worry is one day I'll die and I just leave people with to clear out my house. And I'm like, oh, that's such an effort for them to, like, I'm dead and they're all grieving over me dying.
Mate, how old are
you?
I
have to clear out my shit.
How old are you?
Like, I'm talking about long term, obviously. Come on. But I don't know. I'm going to London soon. I might get hit by a bus or something.
So, oh, God.
Awesome. You get, I'm sure, like, living in a city, like, your life expectancy decreases as well.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah.
So,
yeah, stress level up. Yeah.
I'm going to die. I'm going to die.
Life expectancy down.
Yeah, exactly. No, but that's something that my brain goes all over the place. But that's something I thought about. I'm living a cleaner life. Like, I love little bits, and my desk is full of shit. But it's all the sort of stuff I like. It's very, very colourful. Loads of different coloured books and different things like football, like mini footballers, and just bits hanging around, which is great. I love those sort of things. But there's loads of stuff here I don't need as well. Like, there's about 50 envelopes down there, which I don't use. An old keyboard which I could throw away. It's just stuff I don't need. So that's a good one. Okay, September's an interesting one. So I listened to Jordan Peterson clip. I know you're a fan of him, I know you watched his videos. Mm-hmm. And there's a real good clip where he's like, what happens if you did everything you know you should do? So as in, right, I know I should go to the gym in the morning at 7 o'clock, wake up. I know I should have breakfast at this time. I know I should go to the gym afterwards. I know I should do this. I know I should do that. I know I've got loads of tasks to do. So schedule your day. I know I should eat healthy. I know I should do this. So in your brain, you can make a list of things that you should do today, but no one actually completes that list. So my thinking is, what happens if I just did it for a month? What happens if I tried to do it for a month? Just try to do everything that I knew I should do and see where I was at the end of the month. It's going to be hard. I think that's going to be the hardest month, to be honest. Apart from the maths one, but yeah, just doing everything I know I should do, completing all the tasks I know I should do, trying to be as efficient or as on point as I can during that month. I think that's a big one.
Does that not give you any kind of wiggle room? Because I mean, I'm not trying to poke holes in it too much, but if you do everything you need to do all at once, that becomes a very quickly an overwhelming list of stuff you can't actually achieve in one day.
Well, that's it. It's obviously got to be realistic. Yeah. Obviously, scheduling and relaxation time or like social time to have like with friends and stuff. That's obviously a big part of that. That should be in there. That's part of the thing you should do during the month. So yeah,
Seeing it that way, though. I'm glad you're seeing it that way, because many people would take that quite literally. And be like, hey, I have these 30 things I want to do, but the first thing on the list takes them the entire day. Mm. And then they spend the entire month being miserable because they're like, I didn't achieve everything I needed to do today.
Yeah, no, it's nothing going to be like that. It's going to be very, very different from that. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to that month. So I think I don't know. I don't know how to put it into words, but it's tough. It's going to be a tough month. But it's not just going for the list and making sure you do everything. And I can't. It's not giving myself rules as much as in I can't go out and play football if I don't do this. there's still going to be some wiggle room.
Yeah, there's like non-negotiables, which makes sense though, because this is something that I've been considering quite a lot recently. Is what in my life is non-negotiable? So, for example, that is that I try and write every single day for 20 to 30 minutes. Like,
nice.
That's non-negotiable. The only time it was negotiable was this weekend when I had to redecorate my bedroom.
But it's non-negotiable.
It's non-negotiable unless there's literally something that has to take priority else.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's nothing else that will get in the way. Yeah. So, for example, this morning, if we had to change the podcast scheduling to, like, the second I woke up, I normally write then, but I'll put the writing afterwards instead. And what other things I have during the week. So like I will go to the gym 3 times a week.
Nice.
The only time that's not possible is when I physically can't go to the gym. Like if I'm at an event in London or I'm somewhere else, but I will find a way to do some exercise, whether that is a walk or doing some stretching or something that means that when I sit back down at my desk on Monday morning, I don't feel crippled because I haven't done anything for a week.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want January to be. I want January to be that. Get the fitness in. Get it in. Get the fitness sorted, nailed in. Doing it 3 times a week. Tough luck.
So what's next?
Sorry, this is quite a long list, I've realized.
Well, there are 12 months, so.
Yeah. November is resetting January. It's another January fitness month. Just before Christmas, I thought, get it in there. Because I was considering a reading or a writing month like you've got. Like just trying to write every day, but I'm like, man, what am I going to write about? What am I going to do?
Just brain dump. That's what I do.
Yeah. I did think about that, but
that's how I started.
I'd rather just dial in the fitness, to be honest. I really want to get this nailed next year. Clean eating, November. December is going to be prioritized relaxation and self care. A month off.
You're going to get fat, is what you're saying.
No, I'm not getting fat,
Mark. You're going to eat loads of chocolate and turkey, and you're going to get fat.
Hopefully, I'll be ripped by then. I absolutely jacked.
You're going to be muscular fat.
Yeah. Let's hope so. That's my next year. Plans for next year. There you go.
What spurred you to do this? Was there something that you saw that was like, hey, I want to set myself a thing for every month of the year?
So I always feel really motivated at the start of January, like really, really motivated to get the year going. And 2019 has been so fast, so quick. It's been the best year of my life. And it's just made me realize how much you can do in a year. I've done so much this year, like so many events, so many meetings, and so many like connections. And so next year, I want to take it up a level and just focus on myself a little bit, but also just test myself, just see how much I can do. Like, how much can I actually do in a year? And these monthly challenges would be a little taster of that, a little taster of what I can do. And I just think if I do complete all these, which I probably won't, but if I do complete them all, what about 2021? Like, what am I going to do then? How good of a person, how good of a level will I be on? I mean, if I'm doing fitness for the whole year, I can stick to that. Like 2020, at the end of 2020, I'm going to be a bigger. I'm going to be in a place where I know I should be. Like, it goes back to that of what should you do? What should you do when you wake up? But like, you know that you should be doing stuff. What should you do? Well, you should be eating well. You should be going to the gym. So why not try and make it a challenge? Why not try and stick to it? And why not try and be a bit more accountable by saying on a podcast and just trying to make it happen? Yeah. I don't know. I'm a bit of a weird guy. I like that sort of, I like the challenges. I like motivating myself and trying to do stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's self-improvement stuff. And I think we're very similar with that, because there are some people, and probably some people listening, who don't like the idea of, oh, well, why didn't you just start doing it? Or rather than setting it as a specific challenge, being like, well, why didn't you just start doing it? Why didn't you just start going 3 times a week to the gym rather than making it like a thing?
Which I have, but yeah, exactly.
And for some people that works. Some people are just like, oh, I'll just start doing it. But often, and I've tried that in the past, but often what happens is I just stop doing it. Like, you just kind of forget about it, or something gets in the way because you've not made kind of any kind of commitment to it.
Deadline, right? There's not like a hard start. And like January 2020, I know from that January 1st, obviously being after potentially going out all night drinking on New Year's Eve, you've got to be on it. You've got to be on January 1st. And there's a hard start date. And that's what I think people lack when they say, you know, just start now. I mean, there's no real accountability of it's got to start now.
Yeah. But also, you're right. You've got to have that hard deadline. You've got to... Mm-hmm. If I don't go to the gym 3 times this week, well, what am I going to do next week? Do you make it up? Do you just try to be consistent? And there is a lot to be said. The book by James Clear, Atomic Habits. Have you read that book?
No, I should do it.
I'd suggest looking at it, or at least looking at a summary of the key points. What he talks about in there is that if you miss more than 2 days, like, the habit has a massive chance of slipping. So, for example, I used to just do every other day at the gym, but I found that because it wasn't Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it was like rotating all the time. It was difficult to keep track of. So although now, instead of going 3 or 4 times a week, I just do 3, it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Or I pick a different day if I can't do that day. So by having that fixed structure, and by saying, I will do this 3 times a week, or... moving away from fitness, but just illustration, for example, you said you wanted to have a month of illustration, to be like, I will spend 1 hour a day doing illustration, and you set the timer going, and you go, exactly. Right, the timer's going now, guys. That's it. I mean, I've been talking quite a lot to Lydia and a few other people about Beeple recently. Do you know who Beeple is?
Beeple?
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
Okay, so he's like a 3D visual VFX artist, as in B-E-E-P-L-E.
Okay.
He's like a 3D artist, and he's worked, and he does animation as well. You've probably seen some of his stuff on Twitter. He posts something every day. Okay. And I've heard about him for a long time, and he has this thing called Everydays, which is where he spends 1 hour to 2 hours a day making something new and posting it. Now, I didn't realize how long he'd been doing it. He's been doing it every single day without fail for 12 years.
Jesus. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
So he's been making something and publishing it every day for 12 years.
Jeez. Well, that's the thing. I was arguing about this one, about the illustration one, because I've seen a lot of people fall off of the Inktober challenge and the 36 days of type and all of those ones. I'm like, well, yeah, that's a... It is a hard challenge. That's why people fall off of it. But also, do I really want to force myself to be creative when I'm already trying to be creative at work and I'm already doing... I just thought, yeah, I'll give it a go in the end. But I can see why people fall off of this sort of stuff. And also, it's being in the mindset of, if it's not good enough, or if you don't want to put it on social media, that's fine. You've still created it. You don't have to be on social media. I think that was my main thought of this one, is that it doesn't always have to be about the likes you're going to get from it. And yeah, I think that's where people have an issue with Inktober, is they don't see enough likes from it.
One of the other things I find with those types of challenges is that if you're not passionate about it, of course you won't finish it. True. Like, I want to start Inktober. Like, I want to post this stuff. It's like, okay, cool. But do you actually want to do it?
Yeah.
Like, you can set yourself these challenges, but if you have no passion to do it and you're just doing it for the purposes of, I want to join in on this thing, then why bother? Like, you need to have the ability to do it regardless. But I just liked Beeple's approach because, I mean, you can go back through his blog, which is where he first started it, and look at the first thing he ever uploaded. And it's like this tiny little sketch. It's not even 3D art. It's just a biro drawing. And he did that for like a year. And then he moved to 3D. And then he started to learn how to use 3D. And you can see every single day.
That's really cool. Yeah.
And I'm not saying doing something every day like that is viable for everyone. But what was interesting is there's a videos of him doing, like, making something and publishing it in 45 minutes. And the entire time he's swearing at it, he hates it. He's with other people who are also doing the challenge. And he's like, I'm going to steal their idea. I've copied their thing. Like, I'm going to smash that into my thing. And he, by the end of it, he's like, it's all right. I don't hate it, but it's not amazing. But I've made it and I've published it and it's gone. And I think there's a bit of freedom that myself and many other people have talked about in our circles who have been saying things like, I'm anxious to post things.
Mm-hmm.
But by making it in an hour, scheduling it and posting it in, well, an hour to an hour and a bit by the time you scheduled it, it just detaches you from that piece of work.
Yeah.
Well, that, you're not kind of keeping it somewhere. It's like it's gone.
I think that's a great argument for that. And it depends what side of the fence you fall on and your own people's own mindsets. But also this challenge, I wanted it to be, like, this is going to be a portfolio piece. I want this to be something that I can show football clubs, that I can get work on the back of. So I want it to be good quality. I want to like the work. I want to have an attachment to it because I want to sell it to football clubs. So it's going to be, yeah, it's, obviously some days aren't going to be as good as others, but yeah, I definitely understand why people have to think of it from that side of it as well.
Yeah, and I think it depends what your goal is, you should say. If you just want to get better.
Yeah, then there's boats, everything really. Yes,
this is what I'm thinking about doing. I'm thinking about spending an hour each day and just picking 30 days worth of stuff like you have for these months and be like, this month I'm going to do this. And then when we get to the last week, I'll decide what I want to do for the next month. And so on and so on and so on. Because at the moment, I'm just not making enough stuff. And the only way to get better at things is to make it consistently. So although it's not going to be a logo, I'm thinking about doing logos, for example. So if I was going to do, I don't know, the whatever days of type and just do the 30, so do all the alphabet and then maybe do some of the alphabet again, or numbers or whatever, and then just post that every day, A, it means I have content going out, and B, it means I'm actually making something every day, even if it's only for an hour. Even if it's 15 minutes of sketches and then you have 45 minutes to make the damn thing. The ability and the mindset to say, I have made this thing, I have executed it, and I have published it in an hour, you can say, okay, well, I made this thing in an hour that looks pretty cool. If I now spend 6 days on something, I can be proud of that because it's better than a thing I spent an hour on. But also, it helps you improve your execution speed. It also improves your efficiency. It also improves your ability to see what is good and what is bad in something because you have to make swift judgment calls. And that's the other thing that I think most designers and creatives have problems with, making judgment calls. It's like, why am I spending 8 hours on this logo design when the actual concept I think they'll pick is the one I spent 10 minutes on?
Yeah,
where's the judgment call here? Why are we going around the houses? And also, it just gets your creative brain going. So your goal is different. If you want to make something that goes in your portfolio, maybe instead of making a new illustration every day, yours should be to do one every 3 days or one a week. So then by the end of the month, you have 4 fully fledged pieces or 4 fully fledged projects or whatever it's going to be. So you spend an hour doing illustration, but you maybe don't finish it in that hour.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see where it goes. I mean, I've got a lot of time before whatever month that was, July. So
yeah, I mean, that's 6 months away, man. You could have a whole new portfolio in 6 months.
Yeah, I could not want to do it and change the channels completely.
Precisely.
Who knows? But I think it's the whole point of what I'm trying to say is I think it's important to challenge yourself in 2020. And it's a good place to start January. And it's a very good hard start. So use it and make it what you can. Because you get a lot more motivation from starting something at the start of the year, a fresh start. And who knows what you'll be at the end of the year. You can be a much better person by giving yourself 12 challenges or even do one every quarter. Do like a 3-month challenge or, I don't know, just do one and then do one every quarter and then just give yourself a couple of months off and then do another one. Like, just challenge yourself. That's my point.
And I think that's a good goal to have. I think particularly the health-related ones. So having things that are like fitness related, something design or creative related, and then something that you've been wanting to try, like learning Spanish, for example. Those three things are like probably good consistency things, because with health and fitness, you can see yourself improve every week. Like you can see, oh, I lifted a 5 kilo weight, I can now lift a 7.5 kilo weight. Or like by the end of 2020, I have this kind of goal. If I want to be able to squat 100 kilos.
Yeah,
I'm at 45 right now. So it's like, well, by the end of the year, it's a bit ridiculous to think I can double it in 12 months, but I probably can. But we'll see how
it
goes.
Well, is this an actual challenge? This is an actual challenge for you, yeah?
Maybe. I haven't actually thought about the exact numbers yet. But
oh, right, okay.
It would be, the goal eventually would be to be able to squat 100 or to bench 100. Like, I just like round numbers.
Yeah. Bench 100, that's a hard challenge.
I don't like being at 45. Like, I want it to go up. But these are the things. Like, when you can actually see some kind of change... That's why creating something every day or spending an hour on something every day, you can, over a month, if you took a screenshot of everything you did in that month and just put it on a printout, that's kind of the thing I'm thinking about doing. Is like, well, if I make a logo or an icon or something every day for a month, print them all out on one sheet of paper and be like, okay, here's a whole sheet of things I've made, which... are you good to keep going, by the way? I know we've...
Yeah, cool. Yeah, good.
But one of the things I'm thinking is, and I made a tweet about this earlier in the week, I was saying things like, I don't like using Dribbble and Instagram for inspiration. And it's because, and I hate to use the Fight Club thing because it makes me feel even more like a white boy, but it's about single-serving friends. Yeah? So Instagram posts are single-serving friends. They just show you one thing in one shot, in one mouthful, and then it's gone. Yeah? I don't find that inspiring. I find a massive collection of work inspiring. I find a body of work inspiring. And I find case studies and large projects that go in depth inspiring, which is why I love Behance. I'm loving it more and more. I'm not a huge fan of the way they run the platform, but the way you can show a project is amazing. And that's what I find inspiring. So I personally really struggle to look at one singular post or one singular piece of work and say, I did this well. And I really struggle to reflect on my entire body of work. So by doing this challenge every day, or whether that's health or fitness or design or language learning, you could look at how many words you've learned that month. You could look at how many times you've lifted weights that month. You could look at how many, for me example, for in my case, it could be looking at how many logos I've made in that month and just seeing all of it together and saying, this is the body of work I have, which is one of the reasons why I think Beeple has continued to do this, is because he's like, if I look back at the work I've made, it's a habit now to do it every day, but more so to be like, in 12 years, he's made like 4,500 pieces of work. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's an incredible body of work. And some of it is really shit. Yeah?
Yeah.
He probably wouldn't put it in his portfolio. But out of those 4,000 pieces, there's probably 100 amazing ones. But the only way you get to find those 100 amazing pieces is by making 4,500 things.
Well, it's like that. Is it Edison? Who made the light bulb?
Edison stole it, as far as I'm aware. But but yes, I understand what you're saying. But you're, I know what you're saying. You finish the point, because it's a valid point.
Well, still someone's idea. No. There's a quote or something that someone said that he tried 1,000 different different versions of the light bulb before he made the final one, 1,000 different attempts that didn't work, and then he made the right one. But it's about deliberate practice. Another quote as well.
That's a good word. That's a good
deliberate
phrase, actually.
Practice rather than because say I want to be a better footballer. Okay, no. Say I want to squat 100 kilos by the end of the month.
End of the month. Oh, geez.
What is it? End of the year, isn't it? You said.
I meant 2020. But yeah.
Oh sorry. Right. Oh yeah, you could definitely do it end of 2020. I thought December. That's a hard challenge.
Suddenly pick up another 50 kilos in the next 3 weeks.
I mean, maybe if you eat a lot of food, and you could probably do it by the end of January if you really push yourself. But yeah, at the end of the year, you'll have that easy. End of 2020, easy. Anyway. So deliberate practice. So say you want to do that by the end of 2020, but you know, people say, yeah, I practice all the time, but you're not, you know, you're not recording what you're eating, you're not recording your progressing, your weights, you're not writing them down, you're not trying to put the time in to actually record it. Because how do you know you're progressing if you're not writing the stuff down, if you're not making sure your food's on point so you can build up more muscle? It's just stuff like that. If you want to get better at something, you've got to make sure you're doing the other stuff around it, and not just say, I want to get better at football, making sure I'm doing squats and things in the gym to making sure I build up more muscle so that I can, and tracking all that as well. That's, tracking is a big part of everything, not just physical. Say, if you want to be a better illustrator, making sure you're not just drawing every day, that will help, but deliberate practice by picking up points of other people that are illustrating, or picking up things and tips and styles. I don't know, say you like the texture of someone's piece, how can you use that in your own work to make you a better illustrator? Like picking fine points like that and making it deliberate, making sure you're focusing the energy on one thing to become a better illustrator on that one thing, and then the next day pick up something else, and then all of a sudden you, after 30 days, you've got all of these different textures and different things that you're picking up from other people's work, and you're creating your own work from that. So you've got your own thing at the end of the month. Anyway, it's deliberate practice. That's the main thing. Don't just draw, making sure you're building the infrastructure around that to make sure it's deliberate. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, no, deliberate practice and measuring. You can't
measurement.
What's the phrase? You can't change what you don't measure, or something like that.
Oh, that's good.
It's not mine, but
that's
but
good.
It is. It's something. The quote is something along the lines of that. Where
weight loss is a good one for that. Like if you don't measure your weight loss, how do you know you're losing weight?
Yeah.
Apart from pictures, but I mean, you could.
But that's the other thing. You don't know how to change.
Yeah.
That's one of the other things, especially with people who have any kind of like body dysmorphia or struggle to see themselves anyway. Just being like, oh, look at yourself in the mirror once a week. You don't see enough change on a weekly basis. Which is why when you see people do videos of like, I took a picture of my face every day for a month or every day for a year, and you see it change so drastically, or their weight or whatever, that you see it go up and down and then drastically down. But you can't change what you don't measure. So even if that's just a habit tracker. Yeah. So for example, if I pull up my habit tracker, which the app that I use is, I think it's
got
just
for it. Nice.
Yeah, it's
I've got an old school. I've got a whiteboard up there with like 50 days written.
Yeah, well, it's nothing crazy. I mean, I can point out, you won't be able to see it at home, but if you want to look on screen, Mark, it's just that. It's nothing crazy. It's just a list of habits, and you put a tick in the box.
And
it's just called Habits on Android. It's like it's just a blue circle with an orange with a white arrow on it. And all I do is I punch in the habits, and it's got a little ring that fills up as I do them. And the more I do it, the more that ring fills up. And after a while, it completes it. Sometimes if you miss it for a long time, it will take a long time to complete that ring again, because you need to do it for like 30 days or something. But I can visually see here, have I had 8 hours of sleep? Have I done my morning warm-up routine, which is a bunch of stretches and breathing exercises? Have I done 20 minutes of writing? And then I can see the gym thing, which is, have I been to the gym 3 times this week? Have I written a to-do list, etc., etc., etc.? And it just means that when it's in front of me, I'm not measuring it crazy critically. I'm not being like, in the month of February, I only did my 8 hours of sleep 7 times. Because I don't need to. All I need to do is keep hold of that chain along the top. And that chain just has to be continuous. In the same way you're using a calendar. But obviously that's the most simple things. And then obviously it expands from there in case of like, oh, I spent I mean, the easiest way to talk about it is fitness, is to be like, I lifted this much this week. So I do that with, I have an app for that as well called Heavy, which just, I just punch in the weights and I just check the last week's one. And I'm like, oh, last week I thought I should put the weight up. So I'll put the weight up.
Nice.
Like,
nice.
But it's little things like that. And
mixed I'm more of a tangible guy. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Go on.
No, yeah, go on.
I was going to say, I'm like, more of a, I like writing stuff down. I like, especially this sort of stuff. It feels more real if you're writing it down. Like I've got like printouts of workout sheets and stuff like that, and like I've made, and I'm ticking as soon as I've done the set, or I'll put like a tally next to it, a tally chart. So one, that I don't forget how many I've done, but also so that I know that I've done it. That's it. I've got the tick. I've done it, and it feels more real if I'm writing down or actually ticking with a pen or on a whiteboard or whatever. But anyway, whatever works for you, whatever works for you. I think that's a really good way of tracking it. Though, the app, it's good.
There are some different phrases you can pull on this, which is like, don't break the chain, where people are like, okay, well, you want to do this 3 times a week, well, you need to tick it 3 times a week. Like, don't break that chain. If you want to do something every day, you don't break the chain. And they're like, the visual representation of seeing that, like, that's why some people have big calendars. Like, now I've painted this room, the room that I'm in right now, guys, is completely white. I'm very tempted to get one of those massive year calendars and just like do an entire year on the wall and see what happens. But the other side of that is to say that if you don't want to break the chain, but also don't miss every other day or every 2 days. So in some cases, that won't be every day that you do something, but just make sure it's the same. It's different ways of saying the same thing, which is that you need to just keep track of it. And if you want to improve something, you need to do deliberate practice, as you said, Mark, which is something, is a phrase that makes perfect sense every time I hear it. But it's like, what does deliberate practice mean? But it's just sit down, set a timer, do it.
Yeah, I think it's so important. I always hear Fleetwood Mac whenever I mention "Don't Break the Chain," or like I always just hear Fleetwood Mac in my head. What song?
You're just having like a flashback there. I was waiting for you to come back to reality. It's just
yeah.
It's just good song. Fleetwood Mac. Ah, yes.
You know, I used to listen to it in the car on the way home from. I had a rock playlist. I listened to it in the car on the way home from my old job. Anyway, I think it's good. I think it's really, really good that we're talking about this, and not just design stuff, not just improving on illustration, but the fact that designers are talking about fitness is fantastic. I think there's so many people that just neglect their health and fitness. And sitting down at a desk all day, I always urge people, especially designers and creative people, to get up and move around and stretch out and move your shoulders, move your neck, and just eat healthy, because it's important. It'll allow us to do our job better. It'll allow us to do it for longer as well. So it's good. Do it.
Yeah, you really don't want to develop like tennis elbow from sitting at a desk all day, guys. Like
athlete's foot.
Oh, athlete's foot, mate. What environment are you living in to get moldy feet sat at a desk? Maybe you should take your socks off. Air that stuff out.
I've got some nice slippers on right now.
Jeez. Oh, Mark's got some beautifully fluffy slippers.
Yeah.
Nice. But I'm kind of excited because this year has kind of been, for me, my year of my brain going, everything you've done is a lie. You need to fix things, but we don't know how. And it's been a case of like, how do I figure these things out? So not maybe next year, but in the future, these things don't happen again. Or that, as you say, that you set challenges to do something and you stick to it. Or you have a mindset on things that is more realistic. Even just sitting down as you've done and saying, I want to have a bit more self-improvement this year. Yeah. I realize that there's something I want to try. Let's actually try to make an effort to do it rather than just doing what most people do, which is, oh, I'll get to that one day. Or I feel sad about this. Therefore, that's it forever. And this is something that I've been repeating, trying to say to myself every day, is that just this very simple phrase, which is now is not forever. Because, and I've seen this with people I care very much about, that they feel that just because this year is better than last, or even this situation that they're in is better than it was 10 years ago, particularly if they've come from a not so good background, that that's the best it will ever get.
And that reflects in the same way in my life as well, where it's like, okay, well, just because right now I'm not particularly happy about living at home with my parents, but that's what's happening, I need to actually make my environment better. Which means doing things like ripping out all the old wallpaper. That means getting a new desk set up. That means actually making an effort to make my life more comfortable, because although it's been that way for a long time, it doesn't have to be that way forever. And just because today is better than yesterday doesn't mean tomorrow can't be better.
You know, this has been summed up by this in my life. So last December, I was working for Sainsbury's night shifts, and I was trying to make the best of a worse situation, best of a bad situation. Yeah, obviously, just working Sainsbury's night shifts is not a great place to be. It's hard work. It's good physical labor, and it's like lifting a lot of things, putting things on top shelves, and lots of heavy lifting and moving stuff around, and all sorts of late nights is obviously not good for your stress levels anyway. And my sleep schedule was all over the place. And now, a year later on, I'm work pretty much, I can't say for definite, but I'm pretty much working for a Premier League football club. How mental is that? What a year. Like, in a year's time, I've gone from working not great place. I mean, it's obviously not the worst job you can have, but working night shifts in a supermarket to working at a Premier League football club, doing the job I love. Just, jeez, that's amazing. Like, the amount of effort you can put in to get yourself from the opposite end of the spectrum. It's, a year is a long time and a short amount of time at the same time. That makes sense. There's so much you can do in a year, and it goes really quickly. If you really want to do something in a year, make 2020 the year to do it, because it's going to be a good one.
And also take the time to reflect on that. So something that I have never done, and I want to try and start doing. I haven't, again, this is ideas in my head right now. Nothing is actually set, but I would quite like to do stuff like, how do I phrase this? Like to keep track of larger moments in my life, or even just small things that were good in that particular week or that particular month, even if it's just one sentence. And at the end of the year, looking back on that document and going, okay, well, in May we did this, in March we did that, because I don't have that. And as things become more instant, as things become short, have shorter lifespans, it's hard, more and more difficult to reflect on those things, because we're taking in so much.
Yep.
And we're consuming so much that when we hear people say things like, oh, I did this thing 6 months ago, you're like, holy shit, that was like 4 years ago in my brain. And this is something I have said for a long, long time, is that 6 months on the internet is like 5 years in real life. Things move so quickly. Like, if you think about the period between the 1700s and 1800s, not much really changed. Like, in terms of, like, the actual way, the way people, well, maybe between, that's Industrial Revolution, so maybe let's go back further. Let's talk about yeah, like, the Dark Ages. Like, yeah, in the period where the plague was, obviously we went back like 200 years and not much changed. For hundreds of years, even in some cases thousands of years, stuff didn't move that quickly. But now, because we have the internet, because we have technology, because content can be created, produced, and broadcasted insanely fast all over the place, all over the world, and it's easy to consume, things move so much quickly. I'm not blaming the internet for that, but it has led to me having this inability, or not noticing I have an inability to reflect on things. So what you're saying is true, in that in a year, you've gone from working night shifts in Sainsbury's to afford to go to an event in to Creative South and to go abroad. And now you're looking towards potentially, fingers crossed for you, getting a job that you will have a great career in. But also, I'm sure if you look back on that year, there's probably many things you wish you did differently, or you could have done more.
Yeah.
But if you constantly look back on it and say, I could have done more, you'll never actually be happy with what you've done. So for you to from the way you described it, seem very happy about the changes you've made in a year, those small moments of, oh, well, I could have done that better, or I should have done something else, or I should have done this differently, those kind of fade away, I think, or do they for you?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, this year's been so big, and like I say, it's been the best year of my life. This year's been so big for everything that I've done, that those smaller moments, they do fade away. It's incredible. It really is incredible. Like you say, I'm trying to go back in my head and think, what did I do this month? What did I do that month? And I think I'll need to have a bit more time to think about that. But if I do think about it in my head, it all just leads up to, a lot of it leads up to Creative Waffle Live event. I've done three or four different events before that one. I've spoken at another event before that one. I've helped out another event. I've been to another event. It's just, and that was the goal sort of going into 2019, is do this event and lead up to it with the smaller ones. And I thought about it and it sort of made sense. And it wasn't, and I'm going a bit of tangent here, but it wasn't really fate, but if it almost felt like that, it almost felt like this was sort of meant to be. Like, I was meant to do an event this time because of all of these other things leading up to it. I don't know, it's a weird thing, but yeah, you can, they do, if you do enough, because the only thing I'd have a problem with is if I didn't do enough, and then I would regret not doing enough. So if making sure I do enough that outweighs the stuff I'm not that worried about. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just basically you're summing up what I said.
And yeah, I don't know.
You're understanding what I'm saying and you're reflecting it back. But that's good to hear, because it means that although there were maybe some ups and downs, the ups have been better.
Yes.
Which is what I think we should all be trying to strive for. Yeah. I've got to wrap the show up here, man. So thank you very much for coming.
Let me ask one question, if that's all right. Yeah, how are you going to do it in 2020? What are you going to do in 2020 to make the ups better than the downs?
Well, I think starting by reflecting on things I actually do in a month or in a week or whatever is actually a good idea. So setting some kind of weekly reminder to be like, when you do writing today or this month, make note of things you have done or enjoyed or people you have met or conversations you have had. And maybe even some of the big downs on that side as well, just so you can see where the peaks and troughs are and be like, overall, I have made this much progress. The other thing that I'm going to be starting to do, which I'm in the midst of planning right now and figuring out what I'm going to do with it, is to do some kind of everyday challenge. But it's not going to be every day. It's going to be like 5 days a week, so I can actually give my brain some chance to rest. But that would be, I make something in an hour and then I publish it. Or I schedule it in advance, but it goes out. It's published. Just to make more content. The goal is not to make more content, but the goal is to make more things which are then published. Because if I'm making something, I may as well publish it in some form, or even if it's a case of, hey, I spent an hour on this thing today, but it's not finished and I'm not super happy with it, but it's there. Tomorrow, I will make it better and then ship it, or whatever it's going to be. And just keeping track of things a bit better. Because although I've made some kind of public goals on Twitter and things like that, actually implementing them requires tracking them. Requires making, again, these are ideas, maybe making a blog post each quarter about my income on my personal blog. Or things I found good, things I've learned, things I've changed. Because I'm very much in the same camp as you, which is self-improvement is key to doing better things, whether that is something small every day or trying to make a big change. So at the end of moving into 2020, the goal is to be more reflective on things I have done, have got, have achieved, and also to make more things, regardless of what that thing is, but to make and publish more things. They're kind of the big overarching two, because when you make more things and you publish more things come back. So yeah, as we see platforms move away from likes and metrics and things like that, publishing things is going to be the success metric. Mm. How much you can make is going to be the success metric. And that's not a case of like you have to churn out 100 things a day, but to rather than relying on trying to make a perfect thing to get loads of likes, it's going to be a case of let me make loads of amazing designs that I love and share, because that will eventually attract more people. That's how I've always got clients. But for some reason in this year and half of last year, I was just like, well, the bar has been set this high. So if I never make anything, I will never have the chance of not hitting the bar. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I need to break through that and just get used to publishing things, used to creating things and publishing them and tracking them. So that's kind of what I'm thinking for 2020.
I like it.
Answer your question?
Good luck with it.
Thank you. Cool. So where can people find you on the internet, Mark?
Oh, yeah, you can find me on the internet at Blue Deer Design. Yeah.
Cool. Well, also, I'm going to say your podcast, Creative Waffle, and all the links for that are going to be down in the description for today's show. And thank you, Mark, for joining us. I really, really appreciate it.
Awesome. No worries. Thank you very much. It's been a good chat, and I love talking through plans for 2020, and hopefully a few of the listeners can get on board with it and make their own plans and targets.
Yeah, and that's actually something potentially really interesting. So if you have any plans or goals for 2020, definitely send them to us on Instagram, at Blue Deer Design, at Creative Waffle, at C Fowler Design, whatever you want to tag to let us know about that, or even on Twitter. And if you enjoyed today's
show, create a hashtag for it.
I've used the Fowler Hour in the past, but I like on Instagram, it's much better if people at you, because then I can reshare their stories. Like, hashtags are cool, but I'd rather you like send me on Instagram because I can repost it.
Okay,
but yeah, if you're listening to today's show on Apple Podcasts and can leave us a 5-star review, that would be greatly appreciated if you enjoyed today's show. If you're listening on any other platforms, like if you're listening on Spotify, it's been amazing to see how many of you had my podcast, The Fowler Hour, and Creative Waffle and The Futures Podcast all kind of in the top podcasts that you listen to. That's really amazing. I'm very grateful for everyone who's had that. Apple needs to get on their top podcast list so I can get more gratification for it next year. Thank you very much. And yeah, so really appreciate you guys tuning into this episode, and we'll be back same time next week. Bye for now. See you in a bit.